In the name of Christ Jesus, amen. Jesus is at the temple, speaking about the signs of the last times, describing the destruction of the temple, the wars, the rumors of wars, but most importantly says, the gospel must be proclaimed to all the nations. The one who endures to the end will be saved. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus says, he who stands firm to the end will be saved. The church, at the end of the church year, takes a couple weeks considering the end of time, Christ's glorious return, and the signs of the end, and how we can stand firm to the end, to the day of our Lord Jesus' return, Judgment Day, Resurrection Day, coming again of Christ in glory, a day we anticipate with great joy and rejoicing. And as is true in the spiritual life, in the everyday life of all of us, that we cannot begin something and not complete it. If you're an athlete in the middle of a game, you can't just play half the game. You play the game to the end of the game. If you're given a job assignment by your boss, he expects you to have it done, to not say, I've only half completed it. If someone is re-roofing your house, they can't just do half of the house, lest when it rains, your house is ruined. You can't quit in life. You must play to the end, work to the end, repair until it's completed, and carry out the job till it's done. The same thing is true about the Christian life. The Christian life is like a race. He who stands firm to the end will be saved. And as we pledge our time, talent, and treasures, for your treasure is, your heart will be also, we do so in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ's imminent return, and that we are running this race, and let us stand firm to the end. That is what we talk about this morning. The reason why in the stewardship of our first fruit giving, our tithes and proportionate giving, and our cheerful giving that we do happily, the reason for all of this is for the support of the gospel of Christ, who laid down his life for us and gives us eternal life right now. And we cheerfully dedicate ourselves to serve that gospel. It's like the widow of a farmer I read about last week, who when she died gave large gifts to the seminary at Fort Wayne and at St. Louis. Why? She cheerfully gave large sums because she wanted the church to have pastors to continue to proclaim the gospel to the next generation. The reason for our cheerful giving today and always is because the last day is coming. Daniel today proclaimed that on the day of our Lord's return, Michael and the angels will come and gather people from the four corners of the universe. And those who sleep in the dust will be raised. Unbelievers to shame and everlasting contempt, which is hell. And the believers will shine like the brightness of the stars in heaven in righteousness of everlasting life. It is both a day of rejoicing and a day of sorrow, a day of resurrection and a day of judgment, the day of the glorious return of Christ. We're in the midst of the end times, and the signs of the end times are all around us. Until the Lord Jesus returns, we must proclaim the gospel to all nations and stand firm to the end. So let's consider, first of all, if we're going to stand firm, what are these signs of the last days that Jesus gives in the gospel lesson in Mark this morning? Jesus gives these during Holy Week. It's Holy Tuesday, the day after he has cleansed this very temple. And as he is on the Mount of Olives, looking down at the Temple Mount, he begins to speak about those things that will come in the future. And the first thing he describes is the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. He says, these beautiful buildings here, not one stone will be left upon another. They will all be taken down. Jesus is describing something that happened in 70 AD when the Romans came into Jerusalem and literally took the temple apart, stone by stone, brick by brick, and it's never been rebuilt. In fact, the Dome of the Rock, a mosque, is on that place now. This was a traumatic event for the Jews. Ever since God commanded Moses to build the tabernacle in the wilderness in 1500 B.C., and then Solomon built the temple in about 1000 B.C., and then it was rebuilt by Herod, the Holy of Holies, where they would come before God and offer the blood of the Lamb, was the place where God said He would meet them. And now Jesus is saying it's going to be destroyed, not one stone laid upon another. He is indicating that this is one of the signs of the end times, the destruction of that earthly temple, because God is going to raise up the heavenly temple of the body of Christ. So it happened in 70 AD, and it was torn down. But then Jesus says, in addition, the last days, many will come in Jesus' name, saying, I am He. Meaning there'll be false prophets and false Christs. Whether it be Muhammad, or Joseph Smith, or Ron Hubbard, or David Koresh, or Jim Jones, or Moon, and the Unification Church, countless false prophets, false Christs throughout history. Wars and rumors of wars. Ever since Christ's ascension in the day of Pentecost, constant wars, nation against nation, empires rise and fall, kingdom against kingdom. One wins, the other one is defeated. Earthquakes, volcanoes, tsunamis, famines. There's no water, people starve, they have no food. Jesus is saying these are like the birth pangs, showing that the end is coming. And the disciples want an exact timeline, and Jesus will not give it to them. He's going to give them the overall picture of the last days, but not an exact timeline, because He says, don't let anyone lead you astray. Do not be alarmed. We are not supposed to be worried about this and filled with stress and tension. We have been warned. We know those days are upon us, but we know that in our Lord Jesus Christ we have a sure confidence that we can endure to the end, though we are in those last days. By the way, one of the reasons why that temple had to be torn down, recall then when Jesus was crucified, He said, it is finished. And the curtain in the temple was torn in two, so that we now have direct access in the Holy of Holies through the blood of Christ. We no longer need an earthly temple. And in fact, Jesus says, this temple, the temple of His body, will then be raised on the third day. It's Christ's body, which is now our heavenly temple. And though we are in the last times, we are called to carry out our work despite the distress of these days. What is our work to be because we are in these last days? Jesus says, the gospel must be preached to all the nations. This is our part as we are partakers in the work of Christ. The reason we have a church for almost 110 years on this spot is not because we have nothing else better to do. The reason we have divine services and Sunday school and Bible class and vacation Bible school and Lutheran Youth Fellowship and Lutheran Student Fellowship and Senior Citizens and Life Light and Confirmation class and Instruction classes and Lutheran Women's Missionary League and choirs and singing and hymn books is because we are doing our part on this street corner to proclaim the gospel to the nations here one person at a time. The gospel must be proclaimed to all the nations, and that's what we continue to do here at Trinity Lutheran. Now, Jesus warns us. It is a great privilege to be part of proclaiming the gospel, and He says, don't even worry ahead of time what you'll say. The Holy Spirit will give you the words. The Holy Spirit will give you the words to speak when you're called upon. But He warns us, there will be those who are brought to trial, delivered over, brother against brother, father against children, children against his own family. You will be hated by all the nations for my name's sake. Sad to say that there will be times, and it will be our privilege, if called upon to do, to be delivered and beaten and stand before kings, to bear witness before them, and though they persecute us, the gospel work goes on. This very day, there are those persecuted for the faith in our own country, in Indonesia, in China, in Saudi Arabia. All over the world, faithful Christians speak the gospel of Christ's love, and for this, they are hated. But this is our privilege, standing firm to the end to be saved, because we know that our Lord Jesus Christ died for all. Even those who hate us, He loves and has come to forgive and change their lives. If we're in the last days, and if we are called to preach the gospel to all the nations, how does that mean that you and I will stand firm to the end to be saved? If you've ever seen someone stand in the beach and stand against the crashing waves that are coming in and stand firm though the waves come crashing, if you've ever seen the captain of a ship stand firm even though at times the ship seems to be going down, but he remains with his ship to the end. The one who endures to the end, he says, will be saved. Now keep in mind, we're looking forward to the end of this veil of sorrows, because the end is called several things in the Bible. It's judgment day when God's wrath is poured out against all violence and unbelief, but it's also resurrection day when our Lord Jesus Christ appears and his sheep are on the right, the goats are on the left. It's also called the parousia, Christ's return. We will be saved from hell and brought into heaven. Jesus is our Savior. We say that term and we forget what that means. He saves us from hell and takes us into heaven. How? He was crucified, died, and was buried. He was raised, ascended to the right hand of God, and is returning in glory. This is how He saves you. He offered His body once for all time. The one sacrifice for sin in His body, and He now sits at the right hand of God, and His enemies will be like a footstool under His feet. His perfect offering of His own body sanctifies us in heart and mind in the Holy Spirit through the forgiveness of sins. You heard that forgiveness spoken in absolution, and you are clothed in the righteousness of Christ in your baptism. We know who Christ is. He gives you confidence that you can enter the holy place by the blood of Christ, the new and living way of His flesh. And in fact, each time we receive the Lord's Supper, He gives us His body and blood so that we can enter into the holy place of heaven. And He is our high priest over the house of God. He has sprinkled and cleansed us with pure water, washed our bodies with the pure water of holy baptism. And because we belong to Christ, when He appears, we will appear with Him. You right now have a true heart with full assurance of faith. You can hold confidently to the faith that you profess because He who promised is faithful. Standing firm to the end is difficult at times, but it is the Christian calling. Now, everyone here has a different life than the person sitting next to you. Some of you are still raising your kids, others, your kids are raised. Some of you are in good health, and some of you are not particularly good health. I know some of you have recently lost your jobs. Some of you still have your jobs. Some of you are 7 years old, some of you are 77 years old. You're all, every one of us, on a pilgrimage that you have to walk. And the Lord Jesus Christ is telling you, no matter what your circumstance is, to watch out, be not deceived, be on guard, and don't worry about the future. Even if you're hated for the fact that you're faithful to Christ, you know this. In the righteousness of Christ and in His blood, you will stand confidently before God the Father. You have been already justified by grace through faith. We can't wait to see Jesus. The Holy Spirit has given us faith and had us to be baptized and receive absolution and Holy Communion as a gift. We can stand firm with our time, treasure, and talents, and encourage one another unto love and good works, not neglecting the gathering of the saints in the divine service, but encouraging one another because we see the day drawing near. If you want to know what the purpose of your life is, if it seems like history just goes on and on and on and seems to be meaningless, the Lord Jesus Christ has a word for you today. The reason why he hasn't returned is that the gospel still needs to be proclaimed. What are you going to do to participate in that preaching of the gospel is what Christ has called you to do. Whatever gift you've been given, he expects you to participate in this proclaiming of the gospel to the nations, beginning one person at a time. And the joy is this. Just like the athlete who wins the prize when he finishes the race, the prize has already been won for us. And the person standing at the finish line is Jesus. And his arms are open. And he's the shepherd welcoming us, his sheep, into his kingdom, saying, well done, good and faithful servant. Come inherit the kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the world. This is that day drawing near which we await. May we be faithful in preaching the gospel to all the nations, living out our daily lives and vocations and callings. And may he enable you, no matter what circumstance you are in, to stand firm until the end and be saved. God grant this for Jesus' sake. Amen. May the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.